Bucks fans, we are here with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports live on location at the Big Storm Brewery Tap Room in Odessa, Pasco County, right off State Road 54. Love that big sign on the road that says Big Storm Brewery here on Success Drive. A lot of fun. BigStormBrewery.com to see all the tap rooms, all the menus, all the beers, all the spirits, all the fun. BigStormBrewery.com. Sage is here. He is Ira Kaufman. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. I'm Steve Isbitz. And we are gathered because this is a very special week for Bucks fans. We got to celebrate while we can, Ira. So you've got tater tots. You've got your Kolsch. Lee already had a fantastic quesadillas. I've got a sunny key lime here. We are ready to party, but it all happens because of Bill Curry Ford. Now, Ira, this is very serious. This is the week to buy a vehicle. Your trade's never been worth more. It's the busiest time in the car business. That's why Bill Curry Ford has the best deals in the Tampa Bay area. 0% financing offers that the Curry family is buying down the interest to make these things available. You can see them all at BillCurryFord.com. The dealership, brand new, redesigned. It's unbelievable.
It is. And Sean's feeling his oats from winning my fantasy league also. He's in a great mood.
He's the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, a fantasy guru himself, won the big-time fantasy league. And you have to get to Bill Curry Ford. Sean will give you the Ira Kaufman discount. If you seek him out, you can find his email at BillCurryFord.com. And, of course, that's where you can shop and see all these offers we're talking about. There are too many to mention. You can see the inventory. They've got transparent pricing there. And this is the time, without question. Don't even think about it. Get to Bill Curry Ford first and get yourself a deal. But more importantly, get yourself family backing from the Curry family. Sage, I know you love to talk about Bill Curry
Ford. And Lee and I were there at the dealership last week. Had a little sit down with Sean Sullivan. The whole place is jumping, Lee. There's a lot of juice going on at Bill Curry Ford because of this massive renovation, this upgrade. It's going to be very, very unique. And they're close to finishing this thing. I'd say that within a month, they're going to have a huge opening. I'm going to show up in a clown suit. You can try to dunk me or something. But anyway, as Steve says, this is the time of year. Go in there and get yourself a vehicle.
You know, Sean was chagrined when we spoke with him.
He was chagrined? Why is he chagrined? He just won the Fantasy League.
Well, this is before the Fantasy League results. He thinks the Bucks' chances of getting a franchise quarterback in the first round are quickly slipping away.
Well, he should be happy because they're about to be 10-7 with another division title. How do you like that?
Sage, we have a lot of topics to hit on tonight, right? Bucks weren't doing anything at $1 yesterday. It's Tuesday night. We're going to hit on some of these key topics that are very important right now, very critical. I do have to share a funny email I got, Ira. Podcast listener writes, Ira is always saying he stops into Bill Curry Ford. And the guy literally said, What does he just walk around the dealership and say,
yeah,
hey,
it's on my way home from $1 place.
This is the guy said, so his car isn't broken, but he just walks around and says, I'm the Sage. How are you? How are things going?
Pretty much.
They treat me like a king. Lee.
Yeah.
I know all the salesmen.
Yeah,
I know everybody.
You walk in there, literally drop what they're doing and start yelling at you.
So I wrote back and said, yeah, absolutely. Ira goes in and walks around and acts like the king of the dealership.
And by the way, one of the salesmen all year long has been saying, Mayfield stinks. Get rid of Mayfield. They should have never brought him in. He hasn't been saying that the last couple of weeks.
All right, Sage, we will talk about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration a little bit later, but they are everyone's first phone call, first website click, floridaselite-restoration.com. If you've got mold, flood, whatever it is, your property, if you have any scent of a disaster, you call them immediately before you call your insurance company so you don't get ripped off, and that's the sad state of the industry. floridaselite-restoration.com. Check them out.
And who vouches for them? Sean Sullivan, personally.
And you too as well, Ira.
Yes.
And
you
so do
use
I.
Him?
I didn't use them, but Sean Sullivan did.
Yeah, Sean
used them. Yeah, he absolutely did. Yep. Yeah, they saved him. He's done some testimonials, and he feels like they fell from the heavens.
I don't have a beach house, Lee. I got a shed out in the woods.
You got a hot tub.
All right, look, Ira, people are going bananas over this Baker Mayfield thing. Now, where does the Sage sit right now? Do you believe Baker Mayfield, as of today, has done enough to warrant a multi-year contract from the Bucks? And when I say that, I'm saying like a three-year deal. Maybe 2 years guaranteed, third-year option, similar to what Geno Smith got from the Seahawks last year, which Smith got like $25 million a year. Obviously, he's much older than Mayfield. Where do you stand on Mayfield?
Lee, at this point, how can I say no? I mean, how can I? They're not going to get Jaden Daniels. You know, now you got that Bo Nix hanging out there. But look, he's got to finish the job. These games matter to Baker Mayfield. It's not over yet. There's no guarantee that they're going to make the playoffs. It's not guaranteed. It looks good. It looks very good. He's played some very good football, the Green Bay game in particular. Steve, you read my column the other day. I think I shocked you with, why is Ira talking about the Falcons game after the Jacksonville game? I think everything changed, Lee. I think everything changed after that game. Mayfield did not play particularly well, but down the stretch, he made the plays that needed to be made. Steve, the way things are going right now, I think they're going to finish 10-7. I'm not sure they can't beat the Cowboys in a first-round playoff matchup. I don't trust Dallas on the road, Lee. This season's got a little bit of a different vibe than the end of last year. There's a good chance they're going to have a six-game winning streak going into the postseason. You add all these things up, Lee. His leadership skills are very strong. You got to give him that. Some people think he's got a great arm. I don't think he's got a great arm. I think he's got an okay arm.
Yeah.
But, Steve, at this point, not 4 years, $120 million. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. But he's kind of winning me over, Lee, and it's tough to argue the opposite.
You know, he's playing good ball. You know, inconsistent maybe at times, but that's him. He's inconsistent. But he's clutch.
His teammates believe in him, Lee.
His teammates love him. And I think Brady, for whatever reason, lost the team at least as early as San Francisco last year, in my mind. Because he was screaming, hollering, carrying on, which he usually does, and there was no reaction to the player. They were like wooden figures. For whatever reason, they tuned him out. That's my observation. As Bowles said this week, they've connected with Mayfield. They have connected with Mayfield. Could you see Brady sitting with the proletariat and his offensive lineman at a Rays game downing beers? No, you could not. Could you see Brady walking into a dive bar with Mike Evans? No, you could not. So they relate to Mayfield. They've bonded with Mayfield. You've been in a locker room. Worf's a mild-mannered guy. He gets all fired up talking about Mayfield.
That's my dog.
Yeah. You know, how dare you talk about drafting a quarterback, you know?
Now, I wouldn't say equally as important as winning over everybody in the building, but important in the eyes of the Glazers, the guys who write the checks. He's won over a lot of fans, not all of them. There's still some Mayfield skeptics out there that are never going to be convinced that he's not more than a journeyman. But I don't think he's old enough to call a journeyman, you know, right now. There are journeymen out there. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick was a journeyman.
Oh, my God.
Steve, the guy's doing a good job. That's all I can say. He's doing a very good job.
Well, it's interesting, you know, that Lee brought up Brady. You know, we've had this discussion before. We don't have to rehash it. But essentially, what Lee's saying is that arguably the man considered the greatest leader in NFL history, he lost his team last year. So, you know, that even furthers the narrative, if you will, or just the line.
I don't think that tarnishes Brady's legacy. I don't.
No.
I don't.
No,
I'm not sure it's even accurate, but it's interesting. And it's just something more to think about as we compare and contrast the last 2 years. So I'm glad you said finish the job, Ira, because he does have to finish the job. There's two more games to go. The Bucs only need to win one game to win the division. That's it.
Either game.
Either game. You got it.
Apparently, Marshawn Lattimore and Michael Thomas will not play.
Yes, that's what I'm hearing, too.
Yeah,
Mike Evans likes that. Yes.
Lattimore's still on injured reserve. He could come back, but they don't expect him to. So, okay, so that's where you stand on Mayfield. Now, would you slap the franchise tag on Mayfield, which is this year was about $32 million. They estimate it's going to be about $34, $35 million next year. So that kills your salary cap flexibility, but it buys you a one-year test run with Mayfield. And it's safe to say Mayfield, for a lot of fans who are talking about the money, and we'll be writing about the money for weeks, it's safe to say Mayfield's not going to accept less than the franchise tag in a long-term contract, because why would he, right? Hey, pay me the franchise tag then. If you don't want to get rid of me, don't give me $25 million a year when the franchise tag is $35. I'll take that and bet on myself. Where do you stand on that?
I don't think I'm comfortable with giving him $35 million next year.
That's a little over.
I'm not comfortable with that. Does he need another prove-it year? If he needs another prove-it year, then I'm drafting a quarterback. I mean, I got to put it like that, Lee. I'll give him his three-year deal, but I'm not giving him $35 million a year. And right now, I'm fairly comfortable with him under center in 24.
Would you CYA yourself if you're light? You make sure you have out at the...
Yes. Now, Mayfield may not go for that deal. We'll see. Is he really going to make more than that on the open market? I don't know. There are teams interested in quarterbacks. There's no question about it.
But half the league.
I don't think there's going to be a giant bidding war for Baker Mayfield. I don't think there will be.
No, I think there's three or four teams, though, but all it takes is one. But you know what? You know the Falcons very well.
I was thinking of the Falcons.
You know Arthur Blank. You know Rich McKay.
Oh, yeah.
You've had personal time with these people. I've witnessed it. Suppose they say, look, if we had signed Mayfield when the Bucs did, we'd have 10, 11 wins right now.
That's a good point,
we have no
Steve.
Quarterback, so let's just go get this guy. Then the Bucs won't have him, and we'll just offer him a deal.
So it's a double shot. It's a double shot.
And we can say to Mayfield, hey, look, we got great weapons. We've got running backs. You've got the worst running game in the National Football League, and we can take care of you.
Who's the coach? Arthur Smith? We don't know.
Sure.
I think Atlanta would be interested in doing that, but I think Mayfield's very comfortable in Tampa. Lee.
Seems
very
like
comfortable.
Well, I would be too. I mean, you got Godwin. And,
I don't want to go to Atlanta with that traffic, Lee. Come on.
I'd be comfortable too if I was throwing Evans and Godwin and White out of the backfield. Damn right I'd be comfortable.
Classic Ira, worried about traffic. I think he can afford to get someone to drive him around. All right, Ira, look. So, Todd Bowles. You said Baker Mayfield has to finish the job. Does Todd Bowles have to finish the job?
I think he does. If he wins one out of two, he gets my magical number, which I said at the beginning of the season. Got to have a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
8-9, division title? No, I'm not happy with that. That doesn't show any progress. You did that last year. That shows no progress. With a good rookie class to boot, you showed no progress. To me, he's going to go at least 9-8 and possibly 10-7. Looks like a division crown. He's off the hot seat, Lee. He's off the hot seat. Unless he loses his last two games, all hell's going to break loose. The fans will turn on him in a second. Steve's weekly Bowles poll will show no confidence, 48%, little confidence, 33%. It's unlikely, Steve. The way they're playing, the vibe that you're sensing right now, boy, they're surging at the right time, Lee. They're surging. And here come the lowly Saints. What better team to clinch a division title against than the lowly Saints?
Oh, my gosh, this place is going crazy. Can I piggyback off top of the old Bowles here? I don't know if you know Ryan Glasspiegel. He's a really good guy. He wants you on Russo full-time. All year long. None of this once a week during.
I just got a Christmas card from Russo. I just opened it up and it says,
"Go to hell.
You're not going anywhere. You're staying as long as I'm staying." Question is, how long is he staying?
Did it have your annual thing in there?
It had my annual thing in there.
Nice. I know you did. But anyway, Glasspiegel wants you on.
Tater tots on me tonight, gentlemen.
Glasspiegel.
Who is this guy?
He's a media guy. Works for the New York Post.
You vouch for him?
Yeah, I'll vouch for him.
Right.
He's a good dude. He said, Todd Bowles, coach of the year. Well, you and I talked about this Sunday.
I almost spit up my pretzel.
Since Glasspiegel's based in Chicago, I said, I'm going to hit you with a Mike North line. I were talking about this. Bowles has coached the year, as Mike North would say, take it easy. Now,
Steve, I can't go there, Steve, because he's the same guy that lost 6 out of 7. I mean, it's the same guy. So he doesn't get a pass for that. He's doing a good job right now. I'll say that.
Now, you're going to like this. Here was Glasspiegel's argument that Bowles should be, if not the coach of the year, very serious consideration. Here was his reply. You would love this. He said, what was the Bucs over and under before the season? 5.5?
Six and a half.
Well, he used the premise 5.5. He goes, if that's the preseason over and under, and you win 10 games, you damn right you better be in consideration for coach of the year. With Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I mean, you might be able to say the same thing about D'Amico Ryans. I mean, I'm sure their over-under number was very low. Lower than the Bucs. I think it was.
That's what I said.
Might win 9 games. I mean, to me, Coach of the Year is wide open. I'll tell you who doesn't win Coach of the Year, Steve. It never happens. Harbaugh, Kyle Shanahan before the debacle the other night. You know, Kyle Shanahan could have won 14-3. He wasn't going to get much support. The idea being, hey, you got a lot of talent.
I know
you're
what you mean. I know what you mean.
You know, Andy Reid, when he was winning 13 games, he never got any support.
Well, the more I think about it, I'm not saying Bowles should be coaching here, but factoring what Glasspiegel said, okay, I get that. He brought in Mayfield, who Michael Lombardi's screaming every other week on his podcast. He was the worst quarterback in the league last year. You have a brand-new offensive coordinator who never called plays before. It's not outrageous if they win 10 games.
Steve,
that's not outrageous.
I want to repeat something that I wrote the other day. I think it's worth repeating. And I know we'll probably get into Devin White in this spot later in the podcast. But Bowles has done a very good job in this Devin White affair.
Handled it.
He could have kicked him to the curb, Steve. He could have said something publicly. He doesn't do that. White gave him every reason to carp at him. And in the back of his mind, he's like, hey, maybe this guy can make a couple of plays for me down the stretch. I don't like the idea that he's starting the guy. I don't think he deserves to start. I don't, after his shenanigans and the way Britt's played.
Wait, let me
coach. I think Bowles has done a good job with the White situation.
So I heard you say that before, and I guess you could say if he really did a good job with the White situation, there would be no White situation that any of us would be sitting here talking about.
Yeah.
So I just want to put that out there. However, this last game was fascinating because KJ Britt, he started the game. Played one snap, out you go. That's what they did on that field. KJ Britt only played three snaps. White played the rest. So whether it's high school or college or whatever it is, when a guy plays one snap as a starter and then gets yanked and the other guy goes in, that's a punishment. That is a punishment across sports. You don't get to start. I'm giving this other guy to start, and then you go play. It's a symbolic thing.
It is.
Now, Bowles isn't saying that, but that's exactly what happened. So that doesn't look good for White. Then Bowles is saying things got out of hand. He had some weird quotes and this, and you got to mature and move on as coaches and players. I don't know if Bowles thinks he mishandled it a little and White did too. I don't know, but the whole thing was bungled from the sense of why are we even know about this, right? If Bowles just simply reported White is injured on Saturday, he's not ready to go, none of us would be sitting here talking about it. So I can't agree.
Well, if he squeezes two more good games out of Devin White, I'll stand by my statements.
Six. Two. We need six.
you know what I mean. He could have lost the guy, Lee. He could have lost the guy. And it's not like he can't play. You know, he doesn't have any talent. How many times have you and I talked about his 2020 season?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he's coming back next year, Lee.
I think he's gone. Back. But, you know, I didn't think about that, but Steve makes an excellent point. If he handled this right, there would be no situation to talk about.
Well, he could have also said, you're not playing anymore for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of which 52 other players might have stood up and given Bowles a standing ovation.
Something's going on. But, you know, it's as Lee's written, you know, you win, this stuff gets brushed away. If the Bucs weren't where they are now, then
nobody's talking about what day did White say, I can't go. Nobody cares about that.
Winning is the greatest perfume.
So, Ira, I got to ask you this. Lee, too. This is important, I think, because I think we're about to experience this. But first, let me ask you one quickie. I'll ask Lee first so you can think about your answer, Ira, because I know you like to think while you enjoy a tater tot.
Ponder.
Lee, if the Bucs lose to the Saints on Sunday, which is very possible, rivalry game, things happen, it's going to be heated, and they're playing for their lives. If the Bucs lose Sunday, does Todd Bowles lose the fan base? No matter what happens in Carolina, do the fans say, they couldn't do it, they couldn't beat the Saints? Why should we possibly think they're going to beat the Cowboys when the Saints just smacked them around? This sucks.
That's fair, but it all depends how they lose. If they get blown out, maybe. If it's, you know, some freak play. I don't think they're going to come down on him that hard. Like, oh, my God, they lost to the Saints. You need to be fired. They've come too far. They've come too far. I don't think they will now. If they lose the next two games, somehow make the playoffs, then lose in the playoffs, that's a different story.
There'll be some disillusionment if they lose to the Saints in terms of Bowles and the fans. But that'll probably only last a week. It'll last 1 week. They'll beat Carolina. Now, we're saying they're not going to lose the last two games. That's the calamity. And at that point, all bets are off, Lee. If that ever happens.
No, that can't happen. We can't even think about that.
You can't bring Bowles back at that point. You can't.
I'm going to lay money you didn't see this video. I'm going to lay money Steve did see the video. Jenna Lane had video up at Green Bay. She was sitting near me. You know, I saw this with my own eyes. She had video. Steve, did you see the video? Okay. Did you see the part where Ryan Glazer, you can't see who's coming toward him, but he stops in his tracks. His face lights up. He opens his arms, goes, hey!
And that was me, right?
Almost. It was Bowles, and he did a big bro hug with Bowles.
Yeah. Now, if you really watch that video, because, of course, I watched it 37 times.
Devin White blows him off.
Devin White does not get a hug or shades away from the Glazers. Yep. Nobody interacts with Devin White as he walks past the receiving line, which was very interesting at the time.
The way Brian Glazer, did you see that video at all, Ira?
I did.
The way Bowles and Glazer embraced. Did that look like a guy on a hot seat?
It looked like Glazer bet $50,000 on the game is what it looked like. All right. So, Sage, here's the deal.
One more point. We're assuming Bowles comes back, and right now that looks like a pretty safe
was
bet.
Was the bet with Hard Rock, Seminole Hard Rock?
Maybe.
And, Steve, these are not unrelated. Bowles comes back. You know how he feels about Mayfield. He's been very, very clear.
It's his guy.
Yeah, over the top about Mayfield.
Yeah.
And so you're going to bring Bowles back and you're going to lose the quarterback that he's fallen in love with? That don't make any sense.
No.
Yeah.
No, it definitely makes no sense whatsoever. So got to ask you this about Bowles, Ira, because we hope this is going to come up. We expect it to come up, I think, but we're not making our picks today. It's too early in the week. But You know, Ball's had some weird comments about resting players. You guys addressed it in the last podcast, but he's had more to say. And if you really think about it, I don't know if it makes a lot of sense. So Ball's seemed to express that he's convinced that the Bucks lost their mojo last year because they rested starters against Atlanta. Now, first of all, they didn't rest a ton of starters. They pulled some of them, but Tom Brady started that game, and he's Tom Brady. A week off shouldn't affect him, considering that he had the bye week for, what, years and years and years in a row in the AFC. Many other teams had the bye week, too. Tristan Wirfs didn't play because he was had a bad ankle. I don't think that messed up Tristan Wirfs.
But they did substitute at the half of the Atlanta game, right?
Yeah, they took players out, for sure. Mm-hmm. So Balls thinks that screwed them up, and I don't think that's fair. I think if you go watch that game, is the Bucs' backups were so brutal, that's why they lost. So my question to you is, does any of this make sense to you as far as what Balls is talking about as it relates to Baker Mayfield's getting the crap kicked out of him? What you guys probably didn't see at the stadium is that when he hurt his neck, a guy pulled his helmet. They didn't call it. It twisted his head around. He's getting massages on the sidelines. And what is he doing out there when all they had to do was bring in Kyle Trask, hand off, throw some checkdowns. Hand off, throw some checkdowns. Do you buy the excuse?
Well, of course, I was sitting next to Mr. DeKemper, and we were discussing this matter as it unfolded with about 6.5 minutes left, and the Bucks 30-6 at that time, something like that. And, like, what are they doing? What's Bowles doing? Not only is Mayfield still in the game, he's throwing passes. You said he threw 4 straight passes at one point. So we were saying that. Then he puts it out on Twitter, and I got Joel Glazer saying, hey, we read your tweet over there, and it almost was like they agreed with me. Now, Steve, these are two separate issues. I very much disagree with the way Bowles handled the final 7 minutes against Jacksonville. That game was done. It was done to a turn. It was crispy all over. It was over. And at the very least, you bring Trask in. You want Trask to throw a couple of short balls, like Steve says, on 3rd and 5. Fine. You do it. Had Mayfield got injured, Bowles would have never heard the end of it, Steve.
Might have cost him his job.
Now, Steve, your other point about how to handle a Week 18 game when you can't move up and you can't move down in the playoff seeding. Steve, it's personal decision. Every coach is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys tend to rest the guys in Week 18. We're not taking any chances. Other guys say no. Now, I remember going to this game, Lee. Now, there was another factor involved, but it was 2007, and the Patriots were undefeated going into the last game of the season, of the
Giants
regular
game.
Season, and they went to Giants Stadium. And the Trib sent me to that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had some money back then, Lee. We had some money.
Yeah,
and I went to that game.
The place had lights built.
Coughlin played all his regulars. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost, but they lost a riveting, you know, two-point game.
Oh, it was 2 points. Okay.
Yeah, Randy Moss caught a long touchdown with about 2 minutes left. But in retrospect, and of course they met in the Super Bowl, and Coughlin didn't know they would, but that gave the Giants a little extra sense of confidence. We belong with
you
these
hung
guys.
With them, yeah.
And if the Patriots won that game against the Giants in the Super Bowl, that's considered the greatest NFL team of all time. I don't think there's any question about it.
Uh-oh, over Shula?
And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen. Yeah, over Shula. Because nobody could hang with the Patriots that year. So anyway, what I'm saying is Coughlin decided to play his regulars. But had the Patriots not been undefeated, maybe Coughlin doesn't do that. So there's an extra wrinkle to that game. Hey, they're undefeated. We want to take them down. All right. But, Steve, Coughlin's not the only coach that ever plays his regulars in that final
but
game.
But don't blame your terrible playoff performance on resting the players. That's weak. That is weak.
It's a little weak, Steve. It's a little weak because they came out and they were not ready for Dallas from the start, from the jump.
Is it crazy to say that? I don't know. One reason I'm asking that is we saw, you know, this team was playing good ball, and then the bye week comes, they're playing trash for pretty much 2 months. I don't think that's crazy. Is it coincidence? Maybe. I don't know, but I don't think that's an outrageous thing to say. No, you can argue the Cowboys just had better talent.
What I'm saying is that from a protecting your injured player standpoint, I think you got to rest them. This is 2023.
I think that's a smart thing. I think that's a smart thing to do, but I'm just trying to be open-minded.
Yeah.
I don't think that's absurd to say.
So if you rest them and you lose the Charlotte but you still win a division, so be it.
I'm right? just saying Bulls shouldn't use it as an excuse for last year, and I really don't think these guys should play. I get the mindset of it, but the
should
reality
they play
is,
at all? Should they play
do
at
you,
all?
Do you want Lavonte David on the field in Week 18? Do you?
You don't have anything to prove.
No. You think Tristan Wirfs could benefit from his ankle that's
certainly.
Been ailing him all year, a
certainly.
Week off?
So then, certainly.
So then just certainly. Do it. Take pick. Your, if he Bulls says he wants to play the young players, right, they need the work. Okay, play the young players. You don't need Mike Evans out there and these other guys. If Mike Evans says, give me a quarter, I go through my warm-up, stay sharp, I'm done.
What do you do with Trask?
I would put him out there. I would. That's just me.
From the start? Trask from the start?
I would. If I'm resting Wirfs and I'm resting these other guys, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, all I'm saying is years ago, and it's not even that many years ago, it's
last
from 2019
year.
Is the last year they did it. The number one and two seed got a week off, and they'd come out and kick everybody's ass the next week. So what are we talking about here, as Lee would say? So, Sage, you know the deal. You spilled your beer, but that is not cause to call Florida's Elite Restoration. You only call them if you've got a real disaster in your home or property, storm damage, mold, fire, flood, whatever it is, Ira, smoke damage from who knows what. You call them 24/7. They come out to your home right there in Newport Richey with the Sage, and they give you a free evaluation with top technology so you know what's going on before you call your insurance company and get ripped off. This is the way to go, Ira. You know, you go to Google and you hit Florida's Elite Restoration, 5-star reviews all over the place, including from Sean Sullivan, our friend at Bill Curry 40.
What are you looking for, Steve? You're looking for honesty. You're looking for honesty in an industry that's not known for it. And that's where they stand out. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. You get an honest beer here at Big Storm, too, Ira. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. You've eaten right here in this where we sit now with Josh Martin at Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira.
It was a very memorable meal for a lot of reasons, Steve. That's a time for another podcast.
I don't really know what that means, but it was a good time. So we said we were hitting on some of these big topics here. You got Bulls, something to prove. Mayfield has to finish the job. What about Jason Light? Has he been basically, with what we've seen here, with Cansey having a good year?
And Diaby.
Cody Mauch being a quality starter so far. Diaby leading all rookies with sacks, leading the team in sacks. All these rookies, 12, 13 on the field in certain games.
The emergence
certain games.
Of Rashad White. Throw
nope,
that in there.
No money. Rashad White showing that he can catch the ball and make some stuff happen. But does Light deserve, what does he deserve here?
Looks like he's bounced back strong from a couple of shaky drafts. Now, Rashad White was in one of those drafts, so, mm-hmm. you know, he looks like a good pick at this point. As long as they don't run him into the ground, right, Lee? Don't give him too many carries. You know, look, you got the Logan Halls. You got the Tryon Soyinkas. That didn't look that good. It didn't look that good. But he's bounced back. Now, of course, one year he drafts Wirfs and Antonio Winfield back-to-back. That buys you a little bit too, Lee.
Of course.
So, overall, was Jason Light saved by Bruce Arians coming to town? Yes. Yes. That's not revisionist history.
No, and Light's got it brought him in, too. So.
But since that time, Steve, Light's done a pretty good job. I got no problem with the man.
Here's one for you, Ira. Oh, you know, you were talking about, Steve was talking about Diaby and Cansey.
And I'm not sure McCollum's not going to be a player in a year or two.
That's a whole different subject about the secondary. I mean, you got Winfield. The Bucks have the worst pass defense in the league right now. They give up more yards than anybody else per game, passing yards, and you have possibly a Pro Bowl player at safety still. That's bad. But, no, speaking of secondary, I started to say this just a moment ago, Cansey, you know, leads all rookies with tackles for loss. Diaby leads the team with sacks. Number two, rookies, tackles for loss. Number eight, rookies, tackles for loss. Number eight. Kristen Eisen, Shiano Man.
Three guys in the top 10?
Three rookies in the top 10.
Steve, here's another point to make. This is a point on Bulls. And I don't know how he does it.
By the way, when I say top 10, that's top 10 for all rookies, not
top 10 for
overall.
All rookies. Steve, say what you want about Bulls. He does this well. He's a little shaky here. Time management, this, that. Here they are with like 44 sacks again. Every year since this guy's gotten to town, 2019, different players, no JPP, no Sue, different players.
No JTS.
And every freaking year they got 45 to 50 sacks. How does he do it?
I have to say, there's nothing more fun than seeing Ira Kaufman screaming in a bar. This is fantastic.
Steve, how does he do it, Steve? You know how he does it? With a lot of guys getting 5 and 6 sacks. That's at least that's the way he's doing it the last couple of years. He didn't do it that way when Shaq Barrett was getting 19.5, and he didn't do it that way when JPP was having 11 or 12, but that's the way he's been doing it the last few years.
That's his deal. Yeah.
Okay, enough about this slurping for the Bulls. Diaby leads the team in sacks, 5 starts, 6.5 sacks. Joe Tryon Chuyenga's a lawn chair. He's an expensive lawn chair. You can put a lawn chair out there, a guy's liable to trip over the lawn chair. Why the hell wasn't Diaby on the field earlier? That's on Bulls. I was on Bulls about that at San Francisco, that he pulled him off the field for damn near half. What are you doing? And I understand where Bulls is coming from, but damn, you need results.
There's some legitimate questions, Steve. You and I talk about it. Why was Winfield playing out of position last year? Why is Chris Godwin playing out of position for most of this year? We don't know the answer to these questions. They tried some stuff, and it really didn't work.
No.
Lee, it didn't work.
Yeah, look, they've tried a lot of things. I still don't really understand why they couldn't close out the game even a little bit on the ground on Sunday. I mean, the running game was just dead
in
the water.
It was dead.
And you would think, you know, you got Jacksonville. I mean, they're blown out. They should be sort of trying to get home kind of thing. The Bucs know they want to close this thing out on the ground. Supposedly offensive linemen love that. And they couldn't get positive yardage, let alone a first down.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of scary.
It looked like week 7 all over again, Nelly, on that running game.
Well, I know people are getting mad at me, but I don't care. I've learned this year for sure that watching from the press box and watching a game on TV, you're watching two different games. Damn it, if there weren't holes that were there, and Rashad White, three plays in the first quarter. It's like, what the hell, man? Do you got blinders on? Do you not see this? If he makes a move to the right, he's 15-yard run. There was one time I had my binoculars out, and it was like a straight line between me and White and a freaking hole he could have burst through for at least 7 yards. He goes straight up the middle like he had blinders on and maybe got a yard.
What's the irony? When he catches a ball, he always makes the first guy miss.
Yeah. And the hardcore fans, they see it on the film. You know, White misses clear daylight. It's just his thing.
But he's so good at catching the ball in the backfield.
So, Ira, look, you've been surfing around the locker room, everything else. You know, you talked about the feel and things that you saw in the last podcast, but the fans want to know, do you really think this team can do anything in the playoffs? Do you really believe that they can actually?
I think they can go further than last year.
Yeah.
I do.
I do.
If I'm the Cowboys, I'm not sure I want to come to Tampa. I don't like Dallas on the road this year.
No, they're terrible on the road.
Not very good. I think the Bucs are better than they were a year ago at this time.
I agree.
I think. I'm not sure Dallas is as good. The Cowboys will be favored coming in. We're all assuming the Bucs are going to be the number 4 seed. I feel good about this team right now. Steve, Lee and I were in the locker room. There's a lot of juice going on. A lot of juice. And the common theme, Lee, you and I talked about this. And we talked to different players. Lee and I didn't talk to the same players. And a lot of the guys were saying, we had to trust the process. We had to trust the process. We knew it was going to take a while, especially the offensive players.
Yes.
Steve, when we heard that in week 6, you know, Lee and I was like, get over it, get over it. You're professionals. You know, let's go. How long is this thing going to take? Turns out they might be right. Maybe it did take this long. Well, and Canales is growing into the job a little too, right, Lee?
Well, look, if we trust the process, that's what scares me about the running game, because they needed it, and they went to it, Sunday, and it wasn't there for them at all.
Against a team that was beaten down.
Right, against a beaten down club. So that's a little scary for me as far as going forward. But it's interesting, Irina, you talk about them, and I don't know. I mean, I know it's sensitive, but when you hear the code word, the code phrase of Bulls talking about we needed this change and things like that, I forgot the exact quote from Bulls, but it's like they wanted Brady gone, and his time was up.
Nobody was going to say that last
year. No one's going to say
nobody.
But it's for good reason. You'd be in a psych ward.
Look what happened when Bruce Arians told me, you know, in the middle of the season that he's not playing very well. It caused an uproar.
Yeah.
It was a firestorm. How dare you say that about number 12?
It was true.
Yeah.
Well, Sage, the exact quote from Bulls was, we needed to go a different way. And then he proceeded to talk about Mayfield's leadership. It's just all very interesting, Ira. But nothing we have to rehash. But I'm glad we got to hit on some key thoughts, Ira. Is there anything you'd like to touch on that's burning you before we get out of here?
Well, Lee, we talked about how this narrative's changed in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I'm listening to Florio and Chris Sims, and they can't Well, if I'm if I'm Dallas, I'm worried about going into Tampa in the first round of the playoffs. Hold on. And they said it's a different feel. And it is a little bit of a different feel. Especially, I think, if they go in with a six-game winning streak. I think that's important.
Well, yeah.
I think that's important. We know what happened in now, look, I'm not comparing this team to the 2020 Bucks. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Steve would throw that drink in my face, and he'd every right to. But, Steve, teams that go into the postseason with momentum, they got a better chance of succeeding.
I'll just say this. If the Bucks played like they did against Jacksonville, sans the run game, they played like they did against Jacksonville. And I'm not someone that's saying that Jacksonville is AFC version of Carolina. Let's calm down. They played like that against the Cowboys, the way the Cowboys are playing vulnerably, especially on the road. Why not the Bucks? Why not the Bucks?
The Bucks are dangerous as hell because they have playmakers.
Experienced
playmakers. So that's why, Lee and I thought the talent wasn't bare coming in here. Lee predicted a 9-win season. I said 8. Sage was sitting at 6.
I did.
But then you revised to 10, and then you revised back. You revised back to 7.
You're a win sock, Ira.
All I know is Mike Evans got 13 touchdowns. That's all I know.
There you go about them. I'm saying this not knocking you. I'm like, there's another example why Mayfield maybe ought to be re-signed. Not resign. Evans is 2 touchdowns away from a career high at 30 years old.
By the way, gentlemen, this is a good note to go out on, Stevie. Clark Judge, who I do my Hall of Fame podcast with every week, sharp guy, Hall of Fame voter, pretty influential in that room. He's been around. Covered the Niners, covered the Chargers.
Chargers.
So, he writes a weekly thing about after Sunday's games.
I like his stuff.
Yeah, I like his stuff. He's a good writer. And he also does another thing where he calls a judge and jury, and he poses a question. And sometimes he's stuck, like one of the guys is unavailable. So he'll mail it to me and say, hey, Ira, can you do 3 or 4 sentences for me? And I'm going to put it out by tomorrow as one of our judge and juries. This was today's question, Stephen. And you're going to love this one because I was all over it. Question, do you think it's fair to consider for comeback of the year honors Joe Flacco? That was his question mark.
Yeah.
And I looked at it, and the first thing I thought of and the first thing I wrote, before you say yeah, I said, it would be a travesty to list Joe Flacco on your comeback player of the year ballot over Baker Mayfield. That's a travesty. This guy's played 4 games. I don't care how well he's playing. He's got a hell of a defense behind him. And by the way, Mayfield doesn't.
I thought the question was, is it fair to consider him? Yeah, it's fair to consider him.
I think DeMar Hamlin's going to win it, even though he's only played like 3 or 4 games.
I know. What did he come back from?
He's made the ultimate comeback, in a sense.
But like you said last year.
I think Mayfield's a strong candidate.
But
strong.
Like you said last year, I think it was about Geno Smith.
Geno Smith.
What's he coming back from?
Yeah, what's he coming
back
from?
What's Hamlin coming back from? Great story. It has nothing to do with football. It has life. It's nothing to do with football. He could have walked down the sidewalk and keeled over.
Mayfield was left for dead, Steve. His career's in tatters.
Oh.
Nobody wanted him.
Oh, you use that phrase after you mentioned him.
Yeah, take that out. Steve, nobody wanted Mayfield on the open market. Nobody.
I understand. Nobody wanted him as a starter. I get it, Ira. I'm not arguing against it. I'd have to really study everybody because I think it's fair to really look at some of these defensive players.
It's usually a guy coming back from injury.
Usually.
Yeah, it's usually a big name, which it doesn't have to be. But so that's what I'm saying.
Mayfield's writing a hell of a story, Lee.
Yeah.
He's writing a hell of a story.
It's a fun story. The Mike Evans story is fun, too. I know Lee thinks he won't command that much money, relatively speaking, but they're going to have to pay him an absolute fortune to keep him.
Evans?
Why would they not? I don't think the age is going to be a factor because he doesn't show his age. Randy Moss made giant money. His biggest year was when he was 30 with Brady. And Chris Godwin's making $20 million. You're going to pay Mike Evans less than Chris Godwin?
No.
Could you franchise him?
You could franchise him, but then Baker Mayfield's got you over a barrel. Right? It's really going to be very interesting. Same thing with Winfield. You franchise Winfield, then suppose Mayfield says, I want a 3-year deal or I'm out.
In Mike Greenberg we trust over there. Lee, in Mike Greenberg we trust.
All right, Sage, we want to remind everybody, Big Storm Brewery, that's where we are. And you can see all the tap rooms, bigstormbrewery.com. This is the time to go to Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there today. Get to the dealership. Sean Sullivan will help you, give you the Ari Kaufman discount.
Are these the best deals at Bill Curry Ford that you've seen since we've been involved with them, Steve?
Well, considering what interest rates are and the fact that they've got all these 0% deals, I'm going to say yes. I am going to say yes. That's how special it is right now. All right, Sage, we'll talk to you soon.